Welcome back to the football podcast from We Play Strong. In this episode, we're celebrating the fact that love is love, even in football. We're going to talk about the LGBTQI plus community within the world of football and explore how couples are supported by their clubs, coaches, and fans. My name is Rocky Heyakaya, and I am your host. Joining us today are Arsenal and Republic of Ireland forward Katie McCabe and Aston Villa, and also from the Republic of Ireland, she's a midfielder, Ruusha Littlejohn. Welcome you both, and thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
Yeah, good, thank you. It's a pleasure to be on the podcast, and I'm really excited to get going.
Cool. Cool. So we want you to feel proud about your relationship, but I think you already do, and also feel comfortable discussing your experiences. So love is love, although that's not a given in every situation. And women's football is known for its inclusive culture. So let's get into it and let's get started with the big question. Katie, how did you both meet?
So we both met, I think, quite a few years ago now, wasn't it? But it was true football. I was a younger player kind of coming up to the senior team. Ruusha was already in the senior team. And I think it was quite funny because very early on, we never used to speak to each other. I don't know what it was. We never used to say hi or anything until probably the last day where you'd have a conversation and then you'd be gone and wouldn't see each other for another 6 weeks or so. Maybe that was because I fancied her, and I don't know, you get the nerves and you don't want to talk and stuff like that. But we met through football, and I don't know if you want to elaborate more on that, Ru.
Yeah, we first met obviously at camp. Like Katie said, we didn't really speak to each other, but I thought she had terrible chat at the time, so that's why I probably didn't speak to her. But I think when I first met her, she came in a cocky teenager. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I mean, I was quite confident.
Confident. Yeah. That's good to state it like that.
Yeah, I think the confidence, I thought, I fancy her a bit. She's okay, she'll do, I thought, And here we are.
So for you, Katie, was it like love at first sight or love at first football touch, or how was that? I mean, you were shy, but did you instantly feel a little bit of that magic?
Yeah, I did. And to be quite honest, it was actually when I seen Ruusha for the first time, I was actually watching a game. They were playing in Tallaght Stadium at the time, and she was warming up. She didn't start that game, and she kind of caught my eye because I'd never heard of her before. Obviously, I've been a follower of the women's national team growing up, and Ruusha, being a plastic paddy, she came over to play from Scotland, and she caught my eye there, and I think that was the first catch of the eye, I suppose.
And Ruusha, did you know this? Of course you knew this.
Well, I know that now. She told me that a wee while back, actually. She said, I first seen you warming up and I thought, she's quite good looking, don't mind her. I got that out of her a while ago, yeah.
Nice. Okay, and who made that first move to be like, hey, let's go out on a date, or how did that go?
I think one of our ex-teammates, Emma Byrne, I moved over to London from Dublin, and I told Emma Byrne that I had a little bit of a crush on Ruusha, and we were away at camp one time, and she kind of put me in it and told Ruusha how I was feeling. And I think then ever since that, we started texting a bit more, talking a bit more, and Ruusha's sister actually lives in St. Albans, where I lived, and Ruusha was in Glasgow at the time, and she came down to visit Siobhan, and we went for a milkshake date, and so that was the first date, instigated by me, of course.
So nice. Okay, let's get back to the football pitch, because did you both ever have to come out to your teammates? And can you talk us through that experience, Ruusha?
I was probably about 19 years old, I think, when I first realised that I liked girls. sorry, a girl. I'll just say with a girl now, and it was always Katie. It was always Katie. Even though I didn't know her when I was 19, it was always Katie. yeah, so it was actually okay for me. Like, the football environment is very open. I think we all know that. You always feel safe when you're with your football friends. And obviously, a lot of my friends at the time were a wee bit older than me. They were a few years older. And quite a lot of them were gay themselves. So I felt very comfortable. And then when I was ready to sort of let them know, they were all very supportive. And that was it. It was like, it was really easy, actually. So it was nice that it was so easy for me to, you know, and they were all accepting, obviously. So it was good.
That sounds like a warm welcome to the club. And Katie, was that for you the same?
Yeah, pretty much. I was a young 16-year-old. I came out pretty young. I think I was like 15 at the time to my parents and that. But I was like 16 then playing in a senior team. And I didn't actually come out to my teammates probably till I was like, not that there's a big difference in this, 17, 18. And they were all lesbian. They went to, you know, like the gay nightclubs and this and that. And when I was of age, they'd be like, come on, Katie, kind of took me under their wing. But we're so, so accepting. And I think that's what's important. I think you need to kind of feel like you have that kind of safe, a place of belonging when you do come out. Which is obviously, it's not the case for everyone.
No, it's kind of, it's a really familiar story. It's kind of the same for me because I grew up in a small town close to Amsterdam. And I remember first playing with the boys and then by 18, taking that step, playing with women's in Amsterdam with a women's team. And I remember just started at that team and just everything just fell into place because I was like, oh, wait a minute, I'm a lesbian. I kind of didn't know before. I had some other feelings, but then in the football team, everybody was already kind of like in that same process because I was kind of with the same age group. So I think for me as well, it was about 18. And then you just said about the nightclubs and like the bars where you instantly go like, hey, after the match, we go there. I'm like, okay, sure. So definitely if you have that comfortable space, right, where you can feel like, hey, wait, this is my community. And that's something that you hope for everyone, right? For every young girl that, especially for you being 15, that's actually pretty, I mean, that's pretty young.
Yeah. I don't know what it was. I just didn't really fancy boys as much as I fancied girls. but I think like with my football team, it was a lot easier, obviously with them all being gay. It was much easier to kind of be myself and that. I didn't actually come out to my mates like in school and that, maybe because there was like a lot more straight girls and this and that. I thought I'd be judged. I didn't come out until a little bit after that to them. So yeah, because I didn't really feel like, I thought, yeah, you just thought, oh, I'm going to be judged. They're going to say something and just give girls something to talk about. But in the end, I didn't know what I was actually scared of because they were absolutely brilliant. And yeah, I'm still mates with them all to this day.
Yeah, and I think also it's not because this is not a given for every girl, right? Or for everybody that is like in the closet and gay and trying to be open about it. Have you ever had, Rusha, any like negative expectations about coming out?
I remember when my mum first heard, I think she struggled at first, but I think it was just because it was new to her. She wasn't, you know, she obviously thinks she wants the life for her daughter. You get married to a man and you've got a husband, you have family. So I think she was kind of more worried about what if I have negative experiences, but I didn't. And then after a little while, she was absolutely fine. And when she met Katie, I think she actually likes Katie more than me now. So yeah, she's been absolutely, yeah, she's been good. I've been very fortunate. Everyone's been really supportive. So yeah, I'm one of the lucky ones, I guess.
My mom, her first reaction was, I just hope you won't have a difficult life, because like just that instant, that thought of being gay connects to a more difficult life. That's even, that was just of course a bit like I felt like I was, and I told my mom like, no worries, everybody in the team is gay as well, so you know. But yeah, again, not everyone has that has that safe space. And because I think this is also a question that we all want to know the answer on, because let's start with you, Rusha, because what is it like to play professionally with your girlfriend? Has it ever affected your game, for example, when one of you is excelling and the other one is not playing or injured?
We had a manager that had came into the team, and he had made Katie captain at the time, and Katie's career was really taken off, and mine wasn't. I wasn't playing much, and he wasn't then bringing me in for the squad. So that was a difficult time, where Katie was so happy and I was quite low, but trying to be happy for Katie, but feeling sorry for myself. So that was probably difficult for me. But then, you know, as I got a wee bit older, I was able to like process that more. Then I realised that it was probably just as difficult for Katie, because I was probably sunken quite a lot, and she was having to be upbeat for the team and for the girls, and then she was trying to be a wee bit like sympathetic towards me, but she had to, you know, also keep, like, she was the captain, so she had to be professional. So that was probably the toughest time, but like I said, with time and when you learn to process it, it was okay. But it was probably a really good moment for us within our relationship, because it was a tough time, and, you know, we managed to work through it.
That's beautiful, Rue.
Thanks. Yeah, I've been practicing that one.
Yeah, because how was that for you, Katie? I mean, you're from the other side.
It was about balance for me. It was, the whole thing was new to me, the captaincy. I've been in the women's national team squad and having Rue there at all times. And then for her to then kind of stop getting selected was difficult, and trying to balance that was hard. But I do think I agree with Rue there. Like, as she said, it was a good test for our relationship. And we came out the other side, and it's a credit to Rue, because she fought and kept trying and kept working to get back into the national team now. And you could say she's one of our main players, not to get her head too big here now. But she's done that herself. Players can very easily just kind of give in, and she kept going. She loves playing for our country, and that's a credit to her.
You know what they say, right? What doesn't break you make you stronger. And that's what it has done for you both. So that is amazing. So, what about the fans? Have you always had their support, Katie?
Yeah, I mean, ever since I came to Arsenal, the fans have been absolutely brilliant. Even to this day, even through lockdown and that, Rue, fans tagging us in videos, they make like little edits of me and Rusha, pictures and this and that. And I know we can't probably reach out to all the fan accounts, but we do see it, and we do love it, and it always does make us smile. To have that support from the fans, I think, is fantastic. I think women's football, it's different to the men's game in that sense. I think there's more, you can access, I think, players a little bit more, and we can reach out to fans. And I think it's a nice place to be.
What about coaches and teammates? Have they ever been accepting?
Look, for me, again, it's difficult, because it's not the case for everyone that kind of goes through these things. For me, I've never had any problems with coaches or teammates or anything like that. We've always had a really supportive environment, whether that was back home in Ireland or with Arsenal or within the Ireland team. We've had great coaches and great staff around us, and that support network. So fortunately for us, we've not had too many negative experiences, but we are aware that it's not the case for younger players or players in their teens or even their 20s going through it right now.
Yeah. Hey, but what do you think, what makes the difference? Because is that something that you can create for yourself, or is that just you being lucky to be able to play at Arsenal where there is that safe environment? Or is that also something that you kind of influence yourself?
I think it's a lot of education nowadays. Like, this generation of players, we're really well educated in terms of the LGBTQ community, the awareness that's being raised. And I think we need to kind of keep continuing that conversation in order for the next generation coming through to feel even more safer, you know? So I think it's yourself as an individual, but I think it's a collective as well. And the education side of things, I think, is so important.
Players like Pernille Harder, of course, a superstar like yourselves in your league, have previously spoken about their sexuality in interviews and without knowing the publicity they'd receive off the back of that coming out. But have you ever felt the need to go public as a couple, Rusha?
We actually done a campaign before. This was a good few years back. And it turned out we were doing it separate. And then I think the people then realised that we were a couple. Maybe they knew that at the time. But and then we just said, look, we're happy to do this together. So we both sort of came out to Ireland just to sort of... We, it wasn't a big deal for us, you know. I think when you speak to some people, they're like, God, that's huge. That's so big what you've done, because you're going out to so many people. Like, there could be backlash. But again, we've been quite lucky. Or you might get the small comment on Instagram or Twitter, but it didn't really affect us. We kind of, you know, when you're putting that out there, you're going to have people that are going to say nasty things. But we've been okay. And then I think for us, it was realizing that if we're helping anyone, no matter who they are or what age they are, that if we can show that we're okay, we're comfortable, and it's okay to, you know, be happy and comfortable in your sexuality, you know, why would we hide that? So I think for us, it was like a no-brainer in the end. We were quite happy to do it together. So
you could get the backlash, right? But you, I think, by feeling so comfortable being in a community where you are comfortable, you're strong enough to share that message. So I think it's, again, amazing and very got a lot of respect for that, for just doing that. And did you get any extra, like, love from the fans about that, or any like young girls loving the support that you were giving in that sense, Rusha?
I remember after it, I think my Instagram, we know how you get your messages come through and you don't always see them all. So once I'd opened up that folder, there was quite a lot. Again, a lot of females, and there was maybe not as many males, but there was a couple of messages, just people saying just thanks, and they were just grateful for us to come out. But now that you say that, it's actually thinking back to doing that. At the time, probably didn't realise how big it was.
Yeah, Rusha just touched on it there, obviously, about fans coming and DMing, whether that was on Twitter or Instagram or this and that. And that was the main reason we were doing it, was to inspire those fans, whether they be male or female. It was about changing that one person, or giving that one person the confidence to come out to a friend, a family member, an ally. Just giving them that confidence to be able to come out and be comfortable in their own skin. And yeah, it was great, because yeah, the messages we received were really inspiring, and yeah, it was touching, really.
Okay, so moving on, have you ever been in the situation where you're taking a post-match interview or having a pre-match chat with the media, and that they've questioned you on your sexuality? And how do you feel about that happening, Rusha?
I've actually not, as far as I can remember, I've not, but I've heard stories of some other girls that play for different international teams, and they had been asked, like, post-match about their sexuality. Which is, I think, if it was to happen to me, I think at the time I probably wouldn't even realise or notice. But it's then when you actually think about it and you go, that wouldn't happen anywhere else, so why is it happening to females? I don't know the answers. I don't know if it's because we are so open, so people think it's acceptable to ask questions, but I guess there's a time and a place for some stuff. So, but no, it's never happened to me.
Yeah, I don't know why someone would have to ask that, you know? Especially when you've just played a football match, there's so many more things to cover other than your sexuality, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, definitely. Rusha, this one is for you. Do you feel gay women are overrepresented in football?
I think it's positive that we can sit here and talk about our sexuality. Obviously, there's a time and a place, like we were saying, after games, probably there's no need to be asking those questions then. But the fact that me and Katie can sit down right now and speak openly, like, we're happy to do that. So if people are going to, you know, stereotype us all, then, you know, that there is a lot of straight players within the game too. Like, there is, I know many myself. But I think just the ones that are gay are quite open about it. But yeah, like, there's a lot of people that would just say, oh, you play football. Oh, so you're gay, you're a lesbian. there is a lot of that, and I am aware of that.
I think, to back up kind of what you're saying, Rio, I think women's football, I think having diverse backgrounds is what makes women's football great. Different stories, different backgrounds, respecting that. You know, I think that is what makes women's football so good in terms of, okay, yes, you can be a lesbian, you can be straight. And no one cares. Like, not no one cares, but it's fine. You can be who you are. And I think once we keep continuing that and evolving that even further, I think, yeah, women's football will and is a really good place.
But going back to what you just said, Rue, because, female footballers are typically characterized as gay. And do you know why that is, and how do you feel about that?
Like, when I was growing up, I was aware that many of my teammates were gay women. But to be honest, it doesn't bother me, because like I said, I still know many people that are straight within football. It's just one of those things. I don't know how to explain it. I don't know how to describe it. But like, it doesn't bother me as such. I'm comfortable with that. I don't know if that's because I am a lesbian. It could maybe bug people more that are actually straight, because then they are sort of labelled as they're lesbians and they're not. So I'd say it could, you know, annoy people more that would be straight and they're getting labelled. But it's one of those things. I think just talking about it more will help, you know, get it out there, and people won't keep judging.
No, yeah, definitely, definitely. So, Katie, have you had any experiences when playing where people automatically assumed you were gay because you played football?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, growing up. Even growing up in the boys' teams, like being the only girl playing football, and this is when I'm like 9 or 10 and you're getting called a boy because you're playing football, and when really the boys are just annoyed at you because you're better than them at that age, and they just try name call you and stuff like that. I can hand on heart say probably every women's footballer has gone through that, which is so bad, by the way. It's not great. But as I said, I always go back to the education, educating young people in schools. It needs to happen. It needs to be on the curriculums for us as a society to get better. I've told those boys now, because I'm the one playing professional football, and they're still back home in Ireland, you know.
Yeah, look at me now, yo. I totally recognize myself in that as well. And I even remember, like, when I was 12 or so, and then people were calling me like, hey, you're that dykey footballer. And I was like, I didn't know that by that time, you know, but the people already knew. That was kind of funny, you know. So
like, they knew before we did.
Exactly. Yeah. So, thanks for that. Okay. So moving on, because we all know the viral kiss, Abby Wambach from the USA, of course, in 2015, but also more recently Pernille Harde and Magda Eriksson from Denmark and Sweden in 2019. Because after the 2019 World Cup in France, it became normal to see photos of the players celebrating with their wives and girlfriends. Although I do remember Sam Kerr and, of course, Christy Mewis in the Olympics after the game, when they were comforting each other, and the reporter thought that they were friends, which was kind of funny. But okay, but how did it feel to see, because we all knew, but how did it feel to see some of these photos across your social feeds, and what do you think was the turning point, Rusha?
Yeah, the one that that I took notice of most was the Pernille and Magda one. That was everywhere, all over social media. Well, anytime I would go on my phone, it was there for like a good period of time. But at the time, I didn't really think much of it, because to me, I'm going, oh, it's just two girls kissing. Like, it wasn't a big deal for me. But then again, you realise, oh, wow, this is a big deal. But it was really positive. Yeah. Yeah,
it was absolutely like unreal visibility, and like for me, I'm saying like fair play to them. That's what they do day to day. So why can't you kiss your girlfriend after a game? We see it so often, as you said, with male footballers going over to kiss their wives. They get their kids on the pitch. at these big tournaments. And yeah, I just thought it was, yeah, it was fantastic visibility for the LGBTQ community, and let's see more of it.
Yeah, let's see more of that action during the Euros in England.
Yeah, we'll kiss each other in the stands.
Katie, why do you think these images got the reaction that they did?
I think they got the reaction that they did because it's not really been seen before. As you said, the last one was probably Abby Wambach back in 2015, and you see male and females kissing on the papers, whether that's celebrities, movie stars. It's so normal. So it's not really out there. That's why I think then when it happened and it got the visibility it did, it's because it's so rare. You don't see it. Therefore, then people make a big deal of it. But as Rusha said, it's no different to any time, say, myself and Rue just kiss normally. It's just normal. And it's because it's so rare, I think that's why people kind of made the big deal of it.
Yeah, let's just normalize this, right? Let's just make this the standard.
Yeah.
Hey, and yeah. Rusha, do you see yourselves as role models?
I didn't. A little while back, after we had done the campaign that we'd previously done before, I didn't think much of it, but it was then, when you start getting messages, you maybe realise, oh, right, maybe we are role models for some people out there, which is good. We're happy, like we said, we're happy to help, we're happy to, you know, show that we're comfortable. If that helps anyone, then we're comfortable and we're doing our bit to, you know, show that it's okay to be happy in your sexuality and you shouldn't need to hide anything. So I guess in a way we are role models, but just don't really think about it as much. You know, for me, Katie's probably more of a role model because she's got a bigger platform, and people would know more of her being the Irish captain playing for Arsenal, and the way our career's going right now. So, but it's great that she's so comfortable and she's happy to share our sexuality. And, you know, she's someone for young girls, and no matter what age they are, like, she's there and they can look up to her. So,
but do you think that you as a couple are as open as this, or do you refrain from public affection?
Only when we have an argument and Rusha doesn't want to hold my hand walking up the street, maybe. we go back to that campaign because we've always been so open since 2016, since we first got together. We'd been publicly open for 2-3 years. We came out publicly. It felt so normal to us. And yeah, I just think it's who we are. And if people don't want to be friends with us or don't want to speak to us because of that, well, then they're not the right people to have in your lives, you know?
Okay. Hey, and talking about education, you've been mentioning this, both of you have been mentioning this throughout this episode. So do you think that a mix of education and the growing women's game and more opportunities for young girls, that they're being brought up in a more accepting environment in football, do you agree that that all goes hand in hand, and that creates a more positive environment?
Well, no, look, I think the education point of view, it's so important. Obviously, I learned from the older girls in my team growing up, as I said, like, what was okay, what wasn't okay. But if I didn't have them, I would never kind of know or know the boundaries or anything really about the LGBTQ community, you know. So for me, I think you spoke about women's football there, it needs to be in men's football as well. I think it needs to be across the board in schools, education, on the curriculums, because it's getting, yeah, I know we're still a minority as a community, but we are, I think you see a lot more people coming out nowadays, and in the workplace, it needs to be accepted. And we need to keep having these conversations, having this sort of dialogue to improve that.
Looks like you already know my next question, because this is a really nice connection to that next question. Because for the next part of the podcast, I'd like to dive into how different the women's game is versus the men's game when it comes to being openly gay. And as you just said, Katie, more players are coming out. Well, we know that there's this one player, as I'm sure you know, of course, about Josh Cavallo, that Australian male national team player, briefly shared his story last year and became the world's first top-tier male footballer to come out as gay. Of course, again, big news, but hopefully this is the start of some positive changes in this space, but there's still so much work to do. So, Rusha, why do you think there is such a stark difference between the acceptance of being gay in the women's game and the men's game?
I was actually speaking about this recently with a couple of the girls in the team. And, you know, we were talking about why are there's not many male players that are openly gay. And the only thing we could really come up with is because of the amount of fans that are involved in men's football, and probably they are more scared of the backlash. Like, I'm sure the guy Josh that had come out, he recently had said that there was a bit of backlash from fans, and, you know, he'd been taking a bit of criticism while at games. So I think it's that, and also they're probably scared for their family then getting backlash. That's the only thing. The people that are closest to them, are they scared that if they come out as gay and they're happy to do that, but then, you know, how will the people that are close to them, if they're being abused or targeted, obviously that's not nice, and it's then out of their control. They can't really help them. So I'd say it's more of that. Obviously the women's community is, it's more accepting. It's probably a different kind of fan base that we attract to games. There's more of a family feel. So that's the only thing that I can really come up with. That it's probably fear of hurting people around them.
Yeah. No, I definitely think that the fan community plays a big part in that. And Katie, what do you think?
Yeah, I'd totally agree with what Rusha is saying there. And I think it's the commercial aspect as well. All these big companies that sponsor all these clubs, what are their background, religious backgrounds, what are those beliefs? And then with those sponsorships, if they're sponsoring these big clubs and one of the players come out and it doesn't necessarily align with their values as a company, and there's so many different things that it could be and to take into consideration. But my big respect to Josh for coming out. I think it's absolutely incredible what you've done. So brave. Trying to make a difference, you know, and I think that was massive. And I hope he's happy being able to live in his own skin now, and hopefully not have to suffer much backlash from that.
Definitely, and let's hope that it's just that he just kind of like opened that door, and hopefully that more players will be feeling comfortably to come out. And I also think like that the culture of men's football is just like it's very conservative, right? And we're talking about a major cultural change, and that's definitely gonna take quite some time. So Switzerland and Paris Saint-Germain striker Ramona Bachmann has said that the openness in the women's game puts us years ahead of the men's game. I could have said that. But what can the men's game learn from the women's, Katie?
Many things.
Yeah, right?
I think Rami, like, she sums it up perfectly. We talk about the women's game being so behind from the men's game in so many ways, and the ban in England for 50 years, etc., etc. But as I said, she sums it up perfectly. We're so ahead in what's right in terms of people being able to be themselves, no one having to hide what they or who they are. And I think it's a credit to all the players currently, all the players that have went before us. And it's about us and our responsibility now, myself, Rusha, all the other gay women's footballers out there, to continue to drive that forward, to make sure for the next generation of players coming through, it's a safe place to be.
I think when you look now going forward at like the male home grounds and stadiums, you will always see a section of the fans that are, you know, they've got the gay community, they've got the rainbow flags out. And obviously it's just hoping that these communities can grow and people will become more comfortable, and, you know, they'll only be able to join and sit with people around them that are gay or whatever they happen to be, and they're just comfortable in that community. I think no one should go to a stadium and feel uncomfortable or feel that they can't be true to themselves because they're at a stadium with football fans. You know, everyone should be welcome in all these stadiums. So it's nice to see that, you know, these communities are growing and you can see the visibility with the rainbow flags.
Like at Arsenal, we've got the gay owners. I remember speaking to them on a Zoom call through COVID and meeting kind of the founders, members, and the work they do behind the scenes is incredible. And it's something that I resonated with. I remember visiting the Emirates Stadium as I think I was 14 at the time. I was over with the Ireland team and you see the gay owners flag and you can relate to it. So I think that's what's so important, that there's flags around the stadium that you can look and you can feel like, oh, I am accepted here. I won't be, yeah, discriminated on and because I'm just going to watch a football game and I'm gay. So what? So yeah, I think it's imperative clubs continue to back that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's even by just putting up that flag, you know, it feels like a small effort, but it impacts, it does a lot, right? So just another question about role models. Did you both have any role models like in the game of women's football and also, yeah, who are gay, Rusha?
If I'm being honest, I'm 31 years old now, so there probably wasn't many at the time because obviously nowadays everything's on social media. Social media wasn't really a thing then when I was growing up. So you didn't really have that visibility. I didn't see it as much. So no, to answer your question, there was no one that I looked up to that I knew was gay at the time. But when I was in my first women's team, like I said, some of the players were older than me. Some of my close friends then at the time were gay and I could look up to them and use them as role models as such when I was comfortable and they were very accepting, like I said earlier. So yeah, that's it.
Nice. And for you, Katie, did you have, besides Rusha, other role models?
Yeah, I think, again, to kind of echo what Rusha's saying there wasn't that platform for women's football to be on the telly. We didn't see Twitter and Instagram like it is nowadays at the time. So any of my role models growing up were all male, which was, yeah, it was a shame, really. So for us now, obviously we spoke about it a bit earlier, to be role models for younger girls growing up, I think is terrific, and it's shown how much the game has grown. And yeah, all the work that's been done and still yet to do.
Okay. All right. So, as you know, we always finish with a game. But before that, I'd like to get one piece of advice from each of you. Yes, yes, we're battling it out. We're doing a game. I'm very curious to see how this is gonna work out. But before that, let's start with you, Rusha. What would you tell your younger self?
I would tell my younger self to... For me, it's a strange one because I almost think I've learned through my experiences. And it sort of molded me to who I am now. And that's also as being a lesbian, you know, so it took me maybe a wee bit of time to figure out who I really was. So it's hard to, you know, look back and say, oh, I should have done that because it was all part of the process. But if anything, it would have maybe been don't hide who you are. Like Katie had touched on, she had maybe not said to her friends at one point. And I had a group of friends from school and I didn't say to them either because I thought, oh, well, maybe they won't accept it. So I kept that quiet for a while. But when I told them, like, they couldn't care less. Everyone was like, oh, and what? Yeah. So, yeah, that's probably it. But it's all been part of the journey. So, yeah.
For me, yeah. For me, I suppose, I think it's just to enjoy it. Like, enjoy those life experiences and kind of be in the moment. I think we live as footballers such a kind of quick, fast lifestyle in terms of we play a game, okay, train next, onto the next, you're constantly looking to the next game all the time. So I think growing up, you're just enjoying it, enjoy those trips you take, enjoy the football games, the finals you play in. Yeah, and to kind of, I'd say, be present in the moment and really take it in. something I probably haven't done too much because, as I said, you're always moving on to the next thing. But yeah, just to kind of enjoy it.
I gotta be honest, it's pretty difficult, but you know, we're gonna see. So we're going to play She Said What? Right. So I've got four quotes in football and you have to guess who it's from. It's difficult, right?
That is gonna be extremely difficult.
I'm gonna be awful at this. Right. Yeah.
I'll help. Okay. I'll give some tips and advice, or you know, I'll give some clues. Let's stay like that. So it's really easy. I'm just gonna like read this quote out, and then if you feel like, ooh, I think it's this player. It's to be honest, it's all female footballers, of course. So that's clue number one. And I'll definitely help you out. Okay, cool. Let's get started. Okay. If you know it, just shout the name, and you get a point, and you can win. A lot of pride. Okay, let's say. Cool. So this is the first quote. We actually spoke about her. So, you know, that's another clue.
Okay.
So here we go. Go Gays. You can't win a championship without Gays on your team. It's never been done before.
Megan Rapinoe.
Yes.
I'll let Woo! You take that one, Rio.
It's 1-0.
Okay, you're that definitely was Megan Rapinoe. Okay, cool. It's got to be it's a bit more difficult, but okay, maybe you got it. I've never felt the need to hide my sexuality in football, although it took me some time to feel proud and comfortable enough to speak openly.
Abby Wambach,
Pernilla Harder.
Oh yes.
Almost. One was really close. Somebody was really
Magda
close.
Erickson. Magda Eriksson.
Yes.
Eriksson.
Yes.
What? Yeah. No, I said it at the same time.
No.
No.
I actually seen that recently. It came up somewhere, or not, but I couldn't remember if it was Pernilla or Magda. So.
Nice.
I win that one, sorry.
Katie, maybe it's your internet speed.
Yeah, I think it's the internet that. Speed that's just cut out.
Okay. Cool. Going in, with you, I mean, you still have two. I still have two to go.
Yep.
So maybe, you know, we can you can tie it back up. All right. We're all the same. So why can't we just accept how we are and who we are and go from there? Just enjoy football and enjoy life. That is how easy it is for me anyway.
Is that Viv?
Yes.
Yeah, I knew
it's gonna
it.
Be okay. So, yes, Viviane Minima, definitely, yeah. Of course. From
that
the
sounds like Viv. To
all right. Yeah, right. You're like, is that what you use it for me anyway?
Yeah, exactly.
Like scoring goals.
Yeah,
I do it all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Okay. The last one. Gotta say, this one is difficult. So. This is in a BBC interview in 2014. I'm out there to play and I want to be judged on playing. It is a concern now. I'm the gay footballer because it was never about that.
Kelly Smith.
No.
No.
I'm trying to think 2014.
Let me see it. She is not a player at the moment. So she is a...
Leanne Sanderson? No.
No. She is actually a manager.
No, not Emma Hayes.
Managing a team.
Casey Stoney.
My name is Rocky, but Brianne you can Skinner? Also say...
No.
Yes! It is! Casey Stoney.
Casey Stoney.
2-2!
It's okay. We'll end on a draw or else we'll argue. We might fight with each other, so we'll take a draw.
So we hope you've enjoyed this one. I definitely did. And Katie and Rusha, thank you so much for coming onto the Football Podcast and being so open. As we said at the start, we want you to feel proud, no matter who you love, to feel comfortable in your own skin and to speak out when and if you need to. And to know that you're not alone. Be sure to follow and subscribe to We Play Strong. Bye, everyone.
Thanks, guys. Thank you.
Bye. Thanks for having us.